This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, it's time for On the Clock with a Score Zone Mark Grody covering the latest on another potential historic draft. Featuring experts and analysis on this red-hot offseason storyline that's the headline of the league. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Mark Grody.
Hello, welcome to the program. On the show tonight, our experts will be Randy Mueller. He is the former general manager of both the New Orleans Saints and the Miami Dolphins. Matter of fact, he was once the NFL Executive of the Year. That was in the year 2000 with the Saints. So all sorts of credibility with this guy. He was also with the Chargers from 2000 to 2018. All of that only to give you the most interesting thing about Randy Mueller, which is a perfect place to begin the show tonight. Do you know which quarterback Randy Mueller was partly responsible for landing on the Chicago Bears? A prominent name, a well-drafted player, a kid who played his college ball at Notre Dame. Alex, you know where I'm going yet? And it's okay if you don't. You know where I'm going yet?
Jimmy Clausen?
No, not Jimmy Clausen. But, you know, shows you're paying attention. So, excuse me. He was also, Randy Mueller, the pro personnel director of the Seattle Seahawks in 1997. Few more of you driving around now are like, oh, okay, I think I know where he's going. Maybe I know where he's going. The most significant thing about Randy Mueller as it pertains to the Chicago Bears is that when Randy Mueller was the pro personnel director of the Seattle Seahawks in the year 1997, Mueller traded from Seattle Rick Meyer to the Bears for a first round pick.
There it is.
And with that pick, by the way, selected Walter Jones, sixth overall, 1997 draft, and he was great. And he was,
that was a pretty good pick.
He was a cornerstone for a long time. So that was just and I believe that was on Dave Wanstead's watch. I think Dave would probably want that one back. Maybe it was somebody else. But, yeah, the Rick Meyer, when that happened, I was very excited about it because, hey, Rick Meyer, Notre Dame kid. That like first round pick, Seattle, don't know what happened the first year, whatever. He was fine. And then he was just a straight up bust with the Chicago Bears. Just one of the many swings. Like I always talk about the swings that the Bears have taken in recent memory. You know, Jay Cutler and Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, and now probably Caleb Williams. But there were some hefty swings back in the day when you talk about Rick Meyer. You had Cordell Stewart was a swing that was a little bit outside of the usual purview of the Bears in terms of the quarterback position. So there were some mini swings back in the day. And, you know, Randy could talk a little bit to that time. Don't worry, we're not going to stay there long with him. But I don't even know if I'll bring it up. I'm bringing it up right now, but somehow, some way, I probably will bring up Rick Meyer to Randy Mueller at 6:25 when he joins the show. But as with all of our guests throughout the show, assuming nothing changes drastically, topic number one at this point is Caleb Williams and the number nine pick, and maybe fill in your blank backup emergency quarterback if something crazy happens with Caleb Williams. You know, are you Drake May or are you Jaden Daniels? But those things are starting to come into place for the Bears, where we know that that is the number one thing that we are talking about. The most important things that have happened in this offseason so far, the two most important things, and it's not Justin Fields being traded. That was epic, and that had more meaning than anything else. But the two most important things that have happened in this offseason easily are the Jalen Johnson extension and the Keenan Allen acquisition. I mean, those were huge, massive moves. And then Justin Fields obviously has a different storyline attached to it, and we know what's a coming, and it's probably going to be Caleb Williams. So that's where we keep our eyes and ears on this show, and the number nine pick as well. But I heard two cuts that really grabbed my attention today from the owners' meetings in Orlando, Florida. Two cuts from two very important people. One from Kevin Warren, the Bears president, and then one from Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, both of whom, again, speaking in Orlando this week. And I thought that one took the right direction and the other meant well, but didn't come out the right way. I don't know that it's the right message. And let's start with Kevin Warren talking about, he was asked about Caleb Williams.
The thing that's most important for me on any of our players, but especially on potentially top draft picks, is do you love football, the game of football? And where's your heart? Are you passionate? Do you want to be a champion? Are you willing to do things the right way? And Chicago is a very special place. I mean, I am absolutely just some days just moved to emotion. I was moved to emotion this morning during my quiet prayer time thinking about Miss McCaskey, to have an opportunity. That is George Halas's daughter. And I was with her at a banquet 2 weeks ago and was able to sit next to her and have a conversation. And so when you think back how close, you know, the McCaskeys in our building, who we deal with every single day, how that so close correlates to the beginning of the National Football League. And so a lot of these things that we're talking about even in our meetings, George Howe, they were there from the beginning. And so I ask myself daily, what would be important to George Halas? And yes, was he a traditionalist? Yes. Did he create the Bears as a founding member of the league? But also he was creative and forward thinking. So the thing that I want to make sure that we have with all of our players, but our top draft picks, is they need to understand the history and tradition of the Chicago Bears and understand the history and tradition of these fans. These are the greatest fans in the NFL and what it takes to be a champion here and the opportunity that we have. And that's what's so exciting.
Hey, everything that Kevin Warren said right there, it's all good. I mean, it all makes sense. It's pumping you up. It's talking about history. It's talking about desire and love of the game and talking about the Halases and the tradition and all of that. It is great. And it does play a part with the Chicago Bears organization just because of the history that exists with it. But you know what? You know, I think the message has to be now, because history, while it's fun to talk about the museum part of the Chicago Bears, that they've been around longer than anybody, and that Halas invented the NFL and all of the early influence, that kind of history is fun. But the Bears have not been a successful organization for a long time. They have had six playoff wins since 1985. So if you really want to get into the history of the Chicago Bears, there's not been enough winning. And if we're going to brag about history and how long the Bears have been around, then let's count up the years that the Bears were not involved in the playoffs, or again, not able to win six playoff wins since 1985. So instead of boasting the history, I would rather hear Kevin Warren talk more about making history, about how this opportunity exists to have this franchise being run essentially like it's never been run before. And that is to have sustained success because of a potent NFL representative offense. And that's basically something that we haven't seen on an extended basis, I don't think, in our Bears' lives.
Yeah, I was going to say, Grody, you said it last week that Caleb Williams should not care about the Bears' history, especially at the quarterback position.
No.
I agree 100%
yeah.
with that.
Well,
I don't think Caleb Williams needs to carry the weight of the Bears' quarterback history on his shoulders any more than he already is going to.
Right, and again, if they want to sell that to him, then sell it as you have a chance to be a freaking hero in this town. And I'm sure there were different messages or similar messages to that to Mitch Trubisky and to Justin Fields. I mean, eventually you get the message that the Bears have not had a quarterback in a long time. So they don't need me or you or anybody else telling them about the history of Chicago. So, yeah, they will figure it out. For better or for worse, and it's just a matter of how ultimately they react to that. But yeah, I would just, instead of getting emotional about the history of the Chicago Bears, and look, there's a place for that. Like, don't get me wrong, I am not making fun of Kevin Warren. I'm just saying, like, let's be careful about how much we sell that part of the Bear, like the history of the Chicago Bears, because then you know what happens? Then you get people who are just wanting to talk about the actual bad history and the things that have gone wrong and the earned skepticism that Chicago Bears fans have. And it arrived once again on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN, where Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, was a guest. And I thought that this was a message that I preferred from the Bears GM.
Obviously, and we're lucky to be talked to a few GMs around the league, but like when RG3 comes out, you heard it. Yeah. Okay. Don't you think, like, your particular Bears feels different than maybe the previous Bears? Like, that's how we feel outside looking in. It's like, hey, this is a brand new building almost. Does it feel like that in there? And obviously you weren't there beforehand, but does it feel like you and Eberflus's culture is kind of, because at the end of the last season,
right,
it feels like, okay, the culture's kind of settling in, team settling in. You guys feel that, obviously?
Yeah, it pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City, Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle. And we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
Okay. Well, a lot of people had a similar reaction to you.
Yeah, and that is Ryan Poles on the Pat McAfee show.
Now, those couldn't be two polar opposite messages.
Completely. Yes. One is, let's get emotional about our history and talk about our history. And the other one is, let's break a cycle, right? Let's break the cycle. And that's what Ryan Poles is saying. I got notes of Theo Epstein there, that Theo Epstein is the fixer. That's what Theo Epstein was for baseball. As you could say, is for baseball. But he was the fixer of the Boston Red Sox, and then an even bigger fixer on the side of the Chicago Cubs. But could Ryan Poles be that guy? That's certainly the way he's talking right now. And I love that. I love the idea of, and I know, look, other GMs have had to swat that history back as well. But I love the fact that Ryan Poles is doing his part to squash a lot of that.
So that, yeah, two completely different messages from those two guys. And again, it's not like I'm not outraged with what Kevin Warren said. I just don't think that's how you sell the Chicago Bears right now to anybody, really. I mean, I think you sell them on the future and what is going on and an opportunity to win. But unfortunately, the history of the Chicago Bears, well, museum-like, and there's a lot of cool things and statues and representatives and my favorite era of sports, maybe, the 80s Bears, you know, all of that happened. But at this point, it looks like the Bears need to just look at the future as opposed to the history. So those were a couple of things that we got out of the owners' meetings today in Orlando as we roll on here on the clock. Coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Randy Mueller. He is a former GM, and he obviously will have a good eye on Caleb Williams and how to build a franchise, a former GM of the year in 2000. So I'm looking forward to picking his brain on that. We can maybe even talk to him about the number 9 pick in the draft this year. And yes, I think I will be doing maybe is it for next week or the following week, I will be doing mock draft 2.0. Now that we know a few more things, because my first mock draft was before everything, before Combine, before free agency opened, and things have happened for a lot of teams. So we'll see. In my initial, I did have the Bears trading down with Vegas at 13, and eventually the Bears getting Brock Bauer. So I think they still, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Bears still go for Brock Bowers. But I think there are so many possibilities. And I do, like, one thing I have landed on as far as the number 9 pick, like, I haven't zeroed in on the player, like, my guy yet. But I want offense. I do want the Bears to go in that direction, despite some of the talent that exists at the top of the defensive end group with Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. I think, as per the discussion we were just having about the Bears in the future and breaking a cycle. Breaking a cycle is called breaking a cycle of bad offense for the Bears. And while it looks so much better now, just because of Keenan Allen putting that in place and the work that I assume DJ Moore and Keenan Allen will do together is going to be terrific. I mean, you just feel that, like, because they're both veterans, like, there's not going to be an issue. Like, those two are just, they'll find a way to coexist and be great together. And I don't think it's going to even be that difficult for those guys to really start to figure that out. But, you know, and the other additions that have been made with DeAndre Swift and the tight end, Gerald Everett, and the Coleman Shelton, the center, and the backup, Ryan Bates, all of that is great. But, again, it's silly to think, yeah, that's enough offense. Like, check yourself if you're a Bears fan, or even if you follow the Bears or cover the Bears or whatever. The idea, like, say that out loud to yourself. Yeah, the Bears have, they're good. They're fine. No. Need more. You've learned that through the years. Must have more offense. Yes. I don't know why I'm talking like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, but it happened. Like, I love the defense. Like, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, all these guys. Leo Tuatu out of UCLA, one of my favorite guys, talking to him at the Combine. But I still think you got to go offense. We'll find out what Randy Mueller thinks about that, because he is coming up next. This is On the Clock. I appreciate you guys listening. Text lines are open, 312-644-6767. Alex Kuhn is our executive producer. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin, probably one of the harder things I had to do. I know, you know, I always kind of touch on the empathy part. You know, like having that conversation with my own son was hard. His jersey's up in his room. So it kind of puts into, you know, puts that into perspective of how difficult those moves are. But really felt like that was best for our organization and best for Justin. I said that at the combine. I want to do right by him. We did that. We had a really good conversation. I actually went to Fuse's house, and we had that conversation together with him over the phone. And again, one of the harder things we had to do, but I thought it was necessary for us heading the right direction.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's one thing that is for sure. I don't think there's any gray area. Bears GM Ryan Poles did right by Justin Fields in terms of the landing spot and not holding on to Justin Fields for potentially getting something better if he was to wait. They did do that. I think that that is pretty exact. As we welcome you back into On the Clock, I am Mark Grody. I am here with you until 7 o'clock. At which time Gabe Ramirez will be on talking Bears as well. He'll be on from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And so from that GM right there, Ryan Poles, to a former GM, we are pleased to be welcomed by On the Clock by Randy Mueller. He is the former GM of the Saints and the Dolphins, the 2000 NFL Executive of the Year with the Saints, which, Randy, I know you wear that proudly. And you know what, Randy Mueller? You should wear that proudly.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, it's good to be with you. That and 250 will get you a Starbucks on any corner in Seattle. So.
That is the truth. Well, you did, if I have my statistics correct, Randy, you were responsible for a team that went from 3-13 in the year 2000 to 10-6. Is that correct? Do I have that right? Didn't that help you along the way?
Yes, that is correct. We were able to change things fairly quickly and ended up being a good stop and kind of got the Saints headed in the right direction. So, yes, all kidding aside, I'm proud of that, what we did. Building playoff teams is a lot of fun, but it's really fun when you can do it in a quick fashion. And, of course, that's what Ryan Poles has been charged to do, and I think those guys there are doing a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible the way this thing has sort of unveiled itself over the last couple of years, Randy. What do you think of the Bears and Ryan Poles having had now for two straight years gold, and that is the number one overall pick in the draft, just from your GM sensibilities? What do you think about that, and what do you think about what Ryan Poles has did with one of them and what he seems to be leaning towards in the other one?
Well, just having those two picks is rarefied air, that's for sure. I spent 40 years in the league and really never had the first pick ever, so I guess that's a good thing. But the fact that he's had it 2 years in a row is a feather in his cap. I think for the most part, to change culture, it's really easy to say, it's hard to do. And I think the way Ryan has handled his business has been admirable. I followed him from afar. I've met him a couple times. I was with the Chargers up until a couple years ago. So we crossed paths. I think him and Coach Matt have done a really good job in that they've stayed the course. They've communicated well with people. They've kind of withstood some friendly fire with coaching changes and other things, you know, in their own building, which is often not the easiest thing to do. But credit to them. Now we'll see if what they've done can produce more wins on the field, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah, it is, and it's a great point, Randy, that he has had to, you know, withstand a lot of things because he had to, and, you know, as part of a rebuild, he had to accept losing to some degree and explain to his bosses what's going on, explaining to the fans, and then, you know, to some degree, explaining to us, the media, what's going on. How hard is the process when you go from losing terribly and badly, and you know, in the first year, and then last year you're a little bit better, but you're still losing. How important is it to have the skills to ward that stuff off? Is it, and does it bring some GMs down to the ground?
Yes, 100%. I think it's a great point. It's really hard to do, especially in a big market like Chicago, where you do have a lot of media people, a lot of messaging that you need to control. And it's not as simple as it is in some of the smaller NFL cities. I mean, I was in Seattle for years, 20 years per se. I had relationships with all the media, so I always thought that was easy. When I got to New Orleans, it was kind of the same, a little smaller market. Everybody was rooting for us. We were all on the same page. Then I got to Miami, and that's a little bit of an East Coast mentality, and they come out with knives and hatchets there. So I can understand the big city, what he's gone through, and I do think you have to have people skills, but most of all, you've got to be a really good communicator. And from what I've been able to witness with Ryan, I think he's a really good communicator, both in his building and outside the building, and that really matters.
Yeah, it does. And he makes a point, too, about how important it is to have the players that can deal with the big market. It is a different animal. Like, Chicago is a different animal when it comes to football. Like, what happens in one city is different. And I've gotten that feeling from Ryan Poles. He's like, yeah, this is the big city. Even guys that have come into the locker room, like DJ Moore coming from Carolina. I just remember him, Randy, like the first couple days, my God, this many people want to talk to me all of a sudden. It's a different animal, isn't it?
It's definitely different. And I experienced that when I was in Miami. It's not for everybody. You can, and Bill Parcells told me that years ago when he was in New York. He talked about the Giants and the Jets and the media and everything, and he said these jobs aren't for everybody, and it didn't really make sense to me at the time, but having some experience within the league now, it's definitely different in the big cities, and yeah, it's harder, but I think it's more gratifying if you can get over the hump. The biggest thing that Ryan and Coach Eberflus have to do now is they just got to win games. I think it's nice to talk about it. It's nice to have all the people skills and be better on paper, but you got to show it on the field, and that's the next step for these guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let's say, Randy, that they do draft Caleb Williams, and I definitely would like to hear what your evaluation of him is, but should there be, as you just said, like, they've got to just win. They must win. Obviously, at the very least, more than seven games that they won last year. And many people think that since the added addition of Keenan Allen, the Bears are a playoff team, and those are what the Vegas odds are beginning to say. But do you look at the team and say that with Caleb Williams, if it is him, that, yes, you should be expected to win, even though that is a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, I do think that. I think this is the third year. I think that is an eternity in the NFL. Some guys get 1 year or 2 years, so they need to show progress. I think they would be the first to admit that. I think with a guy like Caleb Williams, I think the expectation should be high. I think they will be high. I'm high on him. He's by far, for me, the best of this group of quarterbacks, so it's kind of a no-brainer. And from that standpoint, they're kind of lucky in that they do have the pick, in that there's a quarterback worthy of picking there. For years, we'd see guys at the top of the first round needing a quarterback, and there wasn't one coming out that year. So a lot of it is luck, a lot of it's timing, and the timing is with them now. But yeah, I think Caleb Williams is a culture-changing dude, and I like everything I know and have seen about him. So I think people should be excited. I'm not one of those guys that says wow a lot when I watch the tape, but I'll be honest, I said wow a lot when I watched Caleb. But saw him play live a couple times, and my buddy who happened to be with me, is I think his shoulder was sore from me punching him in the shoulder, saying what's he going to do next. You know, he's fun to watch. So the fans in Chicago should be ecstatic to be getting him.
What are those punch-inducing moments for you? Like, what does Caleb Williams do that triggers that response?
Well, for one thing, for me, I didn't think USC was a very good team this year. Not as good as they were a year ago, and I thought he carried a bad team. And from that standpoint, you just didn't know what he was going to do to create. He was creating and running for his life about half the time. And again, he won't have to hopefully do that at the NFL level, but like the old saying goes, he made chicken salad a lot. And his escapability, his ability to throw from awkward type positions, you didn't know if he was going to throw it or run it or what was next. And again, the talent level around him wasn't great. So I found myself just watching him and just shaking my head that he could even do what he did. And again, their team was not, he was the face of their team and really the best player by far every Saturday, whoever they played.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that he has been called, you know, the great quarterback, then you got to have that. You better be the reason that the team is worth watching. We're talking to Randy Mueller here, former GM of the Saints and the Dolphins. As he mentioned, too, he was with the Chargers from 2008 until 2018. I'm very curious, Randy, about your evaluation of Justin Fields. What did you think of Justin Fields and his 3 years with the Bears? And then, I guess, as a separate question, is, you know, what do you think about the end that he was ultimately traded for a conditional sixth round pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Right. Well, I was a Justin Fields guy coming out. I thought that year he was the third best quarterback, and I thought he would advance quickly and be an NFL starter on Sundays. I think that obviously the Bears didn't do him many favors in that development process, but going into last year, I had said, the one thing I needed to see was I needed to see him get the ball out. That's beyond anything. We can complicate it all we want, but he had to get back and get the ball out. And that part of his game really never advanced. And my guess is that's what 31 other teams saw too. They see the wow plays. They see the flashes. It's evident he's athletic and he's really talented, but unless he can get it out quicker, which means process it quicker, find and identify quicker and throw it accurately, that athleticism will only carry him so far. So I think that's what people saw. Having said that, I don't think he could have gone to a better place than Pittsburgh, because I think Arthur Smith's offense is tailor-made for his skill set. I think he'll have a package whether he's a starter or not, and I like the fit for Pittsburgh especially. So it may be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and your evaluation is spot on. And it's crazy, and I've mentioned this a couple of times on the air, and I'm glad that there's finally somebody, a skilled ear on the other hand, on the other end, that may be able to add a little bit to this. But it blows me away that Justin Fields did what he did in 2022, where he was spectacular with his legs. He rushed for over 1,000 yards. He had explosive run after explosive run, and it was an amazing thing to watch. He was thrilling to watch for Bears fans. The other thing is that, you know, when you talk about Justin Fields, great locker room guy, great dude overall. Everybody loved him. But at the end of the day, those two things, and you know, this I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but neither of those two things mattered. It didn't. All that we saw in that year, and I know that's kind of a callous way for me to put it, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how good he was in the locker room. What matters is, can you get rid of the ball quickly enough? And I just think it's like, I understand it, Randy, but it's crazy, I think, that's the way that none of that stuff mattered. And I understand I've oversimplified it a little bit.
Well, it's been the same for 50 years. I'll tell you, Mark, it's unless you can beat somebody from the pocket, it's not going to change. And defensive coaches are really good. They find a way to keep you from running. They'll find a way to keep you on the spot. And eventually, you've got to process and make all the throws from the pocket. And that hasn't changed. So when we evaluate these college kids now and they're running around and making all these, you know, Pat Mahomes type throws, it's still the factor of, can he win from the pocket, that differentiates him from good being great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Need your GM cap again here. And that is Randy Mueller for the Bears at number 9 overall. I don't necessarily need you to give me a name, unless you've got one that you'd think would be tidy for the Bears at number 9. But do you think the Bears should go defense at number 9 or keep stacking the offense at number 9?
I think they should pick the best player on their board. I don't think they're anywhere near being able to fill needs with that pick. And I think if they do, there's a chance they're going to reach over some really good players to fill a need. So that's just my philosophy. It's always been that way. I think Ryan Poles will do that. If they pick 9, they might get somebody in their top 5 or 6 on their board. To flop over those guys to fill a need on offense or defense, to me, is crazy. Now, it's really a great pick if that best player comes at a position of need for you, but you can't force that. So rather than a name or an idea of what they should do, I think they need to pick the best player regardless of position and continue to build that team with whatever falls their way in the first round.
That's funny. I did my first mock draft. I made room for that. I actually went with Ryan Poles taking the best player available and ended up being the guy that is considered by many to be the top tight end in the draft in Brock Bowers out of Georgia. And everybody is like, Grody, you're crazy. You know, they just paid Cole Kmet. They signed this tight end, Gerald Everett. But would there be any shame in just stocking up your tight end room for your new rookie quarterback for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years?
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm with some. That for me is a position that, one, you don't need, and two, I'm not sure the priority would make any sense. I do know this. They'll stack their board accordingly, so I would doubt that any scenario, being we know how they feel about Cole Kmet, I doubt they would ever stack their board to where that was possible.
Mm.
And I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It does.
Yeah. They won't give themselves that option because I don't think they've done justice to the team build if they were to stack the tight end room like you're saying. Tight ends are tight ends. We love them, but they're still tight ends.
Oh, man.
I'm hoping they draft a big guy or a fast guy.
Okay.
Let's just stick to that for right now.
Okay. Big guy or a fast guy. Okay. Yep. I just got a text from my boss who said I need to do a new mock draft now because you shot down my idea for the tight end. No, that didn't really happen.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You might have just talked some sense into me, man. I got to tell you. That's so funny. Tight ends are tight ends. How dare you, Randy?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not being disrespectful. I know this. I've had many coaches over the years try to sell me on a tight end that we can scheme him. We can do this. We can use him. It's like Atlanta did with Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, who everybody said was a unicorn. Well, guess what? They get tired of scheming them, and they wish they had a fast guy, or they wish they had Penei Sewell now, because those guys, we don't have to scheme. They're good players every snap. And so, beans, we have one in Cole Kmet already. Let's find someone that every snap we know what we're getting, and we don't have to have a scheme that fits him.
Oh, my God. You just put tight ends in perspective, and that's such a great example from Atlanta because you don't hear about him. Like, yes, he was supposed to be the game changer of all. Like, he was Gronk and George Kittle stacked on top of one another, right? And then all of a sudden, what's going on in Atlanta? Hello?
If you could ever give them a mulligan, they would take it so fast you could never take it back. Trust
me. Oh, my God, that's crazy. You're making such sense, and I feel like I am learning, and maybe the audience is learning. Some of the audience is going, told you so, Grody. Told you about that. That is hilarious. No, that is really good stuff right there. I like that. And I'm sure that there's probably GMs now or in the past that would disagree with you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing that there's a lot that agree with you, but there's probably some that put a little bit more import into it. I don't know.
Well, I think you can make a case for it if you've got a really good team, a proven team, you know, like Buffalo did it last year with Dalton, the Utah kid.
Yes.
They drafted him and he's been really productive, but they're on a different level, I think, as a team build goes. So if you've got a really good playoff team, maybe that's the last piece you add. Maybe that's how it makes more sense.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this then. As long as we're on the tight end thing, do you think it was too much money to give Cole Kmet $50 million, like in your GM mentality? Like, was that paying the tight end too much?
Not necessarily, but I haven't studied him like they have.
Yeah.
I would only ask you this question, and I don't know the answer to this, so I'm being sincere. Can he get open on his own, or does he need to be schemed? I'm asking like a dumb, you know, caller, per se.
I mean, he can get open on his own, but he's not one of these guys who is, like, wide open. It does take him a little bit more work, probably a little bit more suitable to be schemed open.
I got you. Yeah, well, that might be the answer there, but I know he's a good player, and he's going to be the quarterback, whoever it is. He's going to be his best buddy because he's always going to be open.
Yep.
He can play on third down. He'll be a red zone guy. He'll be a third down guy. And that's probably worth the money they spent right there.
Yep, Randy, this has been great. Thanks for talking some sense. Actually, no, wait, I can't let you go yet because I talked about this at the very beginning of the program here, and I don't have much time, but it's my fault because I told Bears fans, like, we could talk about his work with the Saints and the Dolphins and the Chargers and an NFL Executive of the Year in 2000, but it was as pro personnel director of the Seattle Seahawks in 1997 that you, Randy Mueller, traded Rick Meyer to the Bears for a first-round pick, which you selected. Walter Jones, 6th overall with in 1997, and you left us with Rick Meyer. So this is my opportunity all these years later. You knew what you were doing, didn't you?
Well, that was a hard one because I did have a lot of respect for Rick. I loved him at the time. Dennis Erickson was our coach, and he just wasn't going to fit in our scheme. Mm. We actually got a later pick. We ended up with 10 and 11 in that draft, and we swapped 10 and 11 to go up to 3 and 6, and we drafted Sean Springs and Walter Jones. Oh. So the trade worked out good for us. It doesn't always work out like that, but it worked out for us good in that instance.
Yeah, no doubt. I forgot about the Sean Springs part of that. Randy, this has been great. Thank you for a little bit of extra time tonight. I appreciate it, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you sometime down the line again. Thank you, Randy.
You bet, Mark. Take care.
Yep, that is Randy Mueller, the former GM of the Saints and Dolphins, on the clock right here on The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One thing we have learned on this show tonight, fast guy or big guy? Fast guy or big guy?
That was a money quote right there.
So good. Randy Mueller, the former GM of the Saints and Dolphins, was just on, and he set me straight.
What does Stacey King always say about basketball?
Know
your personnel. It's a simple game.
It's a simple game.
Yeah, I think the same can be said about what Randy Mueller had to say.
Fast guy or big guy? He said at number 9. I asked him about, I ran my the idea, and again the mock draft was like 3 weeks ago, so pre-combine, pre-free agency, and I felt like I was being kind of creative, having the Bears move down and then snagging like what I would perceive as to be the best player available, Brock Bowers out of Georgia. We just had Randy Mueller on, and he was like, no, like no gray area. And he was just like, no, not going to do that. Think about what's going on in Atlanta, and then think about them thinking they'd rather have a fast guy or a big guy.
Was it Penei Sewell or... I'm trying to think of who the other option was for them there at that pick.
Oh, yeah. Fast guy or big guy? Oh, yeah. It was the wide receiver, right? Yeah. We'll look. 217. Grody, that was an awesome, insightful, and excellent interview. 217, Ben. Yeah, Randy Mueller was very good. Good to get those opinions and even going back to the...
Jamar Chase!
That's the guy that was on my mind. Why couldn't you or I?
Or Jalen Waddle.
Fast guy or a big guy.
Or Devontae Smith.
I have had Joe Alt dreams. I don't know that Joe Alt is going to be somebody who... I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that Joe Alt is there at 9. Doubtful? Just because I think the Chargers might go for him at number 5 overall. Like, I just keep thinking about Jim Harbaugh and connecting that, but they also could use a wide receiver because they've disposed of all their wide receivers, much to the benefit of the Chicago Bears and Keenan Allen. But still think the Giants are going to take J.J. McCarthy at 6. Tennessee, interesting there. Tennessee, they could ruin Joe Alt dreams. I could see that right now. They just signed Calvin Ridley, so. We'll see.
Does it feel like Harbaugh is leaning that direction?
What, offensive line?
I haven't gotten
any feeling from him. I didn't talk to him at the combine, but it would seem like a very Jim Harbaugh thing, right? I mean, like Jim Harbaugh to establish your offensive line. But he is, depending on how fast he thinks he can turn this around, already having the quarterback there with Justin Herbert, I mean... Depends how fast he wants to turn things around. They could definitely use one of those top-notch wide receivers. So, and then you have Atlanta. We're just talking about them. And Kyle Pitts. What's going on with Kyle Pitts? Whatever happened to him? I thought he was going to be the generational tight end. That was Randy Mueller's point, a part of it. And there's been a lot of successful tight ends. That's for sure this year. But, yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's a – because they could take Joe Hall. That's not out of the realm. But Atlanta could take Dallas Turner. They could go defensive end. And then the Bears, that leaves all the names that I didn't say or some that I did say. A lot of things are possible. But I definitely, like, standing by, it absolutely positively needs to continue to be offense. Because here's the thing. It's not just, like, at the expense of the defense. The defense is pretty good right now. Like, I'm not ready to call them elite. Maybe it becomes that if players develop to the next level and Montez Sweat continues to be dominant and they find somebody else who can get to the quarterback and Tremaine Edmonds maybe jumps another, because there's another level in Tremaine Edmonds as well. The defense is pretty good, and that doesn't mean that you don't add on later on, but maybe right now you continue to, since your defense is good, let's for once have the offense and the defense be on the same relative page in terms of working with each other. Just haven't seen enough of that historically with the Chicago Bears, who, again, I think should talk about making history, not talking about history. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for putting this show together. He got us Randy Mueller, who was excellent. If you want to go check that out, he was on with us at 6:25 on the app. Coming up, it is my guy, Gabriel Ramirez. Gabe Ramirez from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I'm Mark Grody for On the Clock. Hope you have a great evening.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
One thing we have learned on this show tonight, fast guy or big guy? Fast guy or big guy?
That was a money quote right there.
So good. Randy Mueller, the former GM of the Saints and Dolphins, was just on, and he set me straight.
What does Stacey King always say about basketball? It's a simple game.
It's a simple game.
Yeah, I think the same can be said about what Randy Mueller had to say.
Fast guy or big guy? He said at number 9. I asked him about, I ran my, the idea, and again, the mock draft was like 3 weeks ago. So pre-combine, pre-free agency, and I felt like I was being kind of creative, having the Bears move down and then snagging like what I would perceive as to be the best player available, Brock Bowers out of Georgia. We just had Randy Mueller on, and he was like, no. Like, no gray area. It was just like, no. Not going to do that. Think about what's going on at Atlanta, and then think about them thinking they'd rather have a fast guy or a big guy.
Was it Penei Sewell or... I'm trying to think of who the other option was for them there at that pick.
Oh, yeah. Fast guy or big guy? Oh, yeah. It was the wide receiver, right? Yeah. We'll look. 217. Grody, that was an awesome, insightful, and excellent interview. 217, Ben. Yeah, Randy Mueller was very good. Good to get those opinions and even going back to the...
Jamar Chase!
That's the guy that was on my mind. Why couldn't you or I?
Or Jalen Waddle.
Fast guy or a big guy.
Or Devontae Smith.
I have had Joe Alt dreams. I don't know that Joe Alt is going to be somebody who... I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that Joe Alt is there at 9. Doubtful? Just because I think the Chargers might go for him at number 5 overall. Like, I just keep thinking about Jim Harbaugh and connecting that, but they also could use a wide receiver because they've disposed of all their wide receivers, much to the benefit of the Chicago Bears and Keenan Allen. But Still think the Giants are going to take J.J. McCarthy at 6. Tennessee. Interesting there. Tennessee. They could ruin Joe Alt dreams. I could see that right now. They just signed Calvin Ridley. So we'll see.
Does it feel like Harbaugh is leaning that direction?
What, offensive line?
I haven't gotten
any feeling from him. I didn't talk to him at the combine, but it would seem like a very Jim Harbaugh thing. Right? I mean, like Jim Harbaugh to establish your offensive line. But he is, depending on how fast he thinks he can turn this around, already having the quarterback there with Justin Herbert, I mean, depends how fast he wants to turn things around. They could definitely use one of those top-notch wide receivers. So, and then you have Atlanta. We're just talking about them. And Kyle Pitts. What's going on with Kyle Pitts? Whatever happened to him? I thought he was going to be the generational tight end. That was Randy Mueller's point. A part of it. And there's been a lot of successful tight ends. That's for sure this year. But yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's a, because they could take Joe Alt. That's not out of the realm of, Atlanta could take Dallas Turner. They could go defensive end. And then the Bears, that leaves all the names that I didn't say or some that I did say. A lot of things are possible. But I definitely, like, standing by, it absolutely positively needs to continue to be offense. Because here's the thing. It's not just like at the expense of the defense. The defense is pretty good right now. Like, I'm not ready to call them elite. Maybe it becomes that if players develop to the next level and Montez Sweat continues to be dominant and they find somebody else who can get to the quarterback, and Tremaine Edmonds maybe jumps another, because there's another level in Tremaine Edmonds as well. The defense is pretty good, and that doesn't mean that you don't add on later on. But maybe right now you continue to, since your defense is good, let's for once have the offense and the defense be on the same relative page in terms of working with each other. Just haven't seen enough of that historically with the Chicago Bears, who, again, I think should talk about making history, not talking about history. Thanks to Alex Kuhn for putting this show together. He got us Randy Mueller, who was excellent. If you want to go check that out, he was on with us at 6:25 on the app. Coming up, it is my guy, Gabriel Ramirez. Gabe Ramirez from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I'm Mark Grody for On the Clock. Hope you have a great evening.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.